Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Now Grizzlick, back of his net. Takes his time. Heads up left wing.
Oh, Miller was going to go off.
Corrales got it over the line. Shoots. Hunt the save. Rebound. He scores! Jump up and down. Your first Selly of the season. Sean Corrales with the overtime winner as the Bruins storm off their bench and celebrate a 3-2 come-from-behind victory in Buffalo. Their first come-from-behind victory of the season. 2 points. Big swing for the Bruins in the Atlantic as they celebrate at the near hash marks. How about that?
There you go. Wake you up on New Year's Day. Yep. Judd Zarat, put that right in your face.
Scraping him off the ceiling already.
All right. It's Felger and Maz on New Year's Day. No, you do not need to adjust your radio. We are live. Felger and Maz for the first time, and it feels like a couple of weeks.
More than that.
Nice long recharge here for the Felger and Maz program. We've been off, but we are back, bitches, on New Year's Day. And we are coming to you from South Bend, Indiana, and O'Rourke's, a sports bar, which is pretty much right across the street from Notre Dame Stadium as we're getting ready for the Winter Classic. Bruins, Blackhawks today on the Sports Hub. We got you covered all day. How you doing, boys?
Yeah, I bought tickets to go to the remote with Felger and Maz at O'Rourke's.
Where's your Packers in the playoffs now, Felger? A line that was literally uttered as we were getting on the plane.
Yes, correct. Yeah. There you go. So that's the deal today, folks. We got you covered all day with this game. We are going to be Felger and Maz with Big Jim Murray on site here till 12:30, and then we get you to the Bruins pregame. Then we got the game here with Judd and Bob Beers. And then we are on postgame. Felger and Maz back here at O'Rourke's at around 4:15 or so, taking you till 6 o'clock, and that's the day. So hockey day. Here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. We got a lot of guests for you. Apparently, Cam Neely's going to come by here in a couple of minutes.
I'm sure he'll be happy to see us.
I'm sure he misses us like crazy. So Neely's going to be by. I've been told Jeremy Jacobs and his son are going to pile into this bar. I'll believe that when I see it, but I've been told that the Jacobs are going to come by. So we're going to talk to the Jacobs. We'll have also Jaffe and Judd and Beers, and so we'll have a lot of guests along the way. We'll talk to you along the way as well. As we wait for Cam, I'll just kick it off and get your thoughts on the Winter Classic in general. How do you feel about this day, this game, this event?
So overall, like, you know, as I get closer to the game, I feel better about it, but I feel like it's losing its luster a little. You know, again, I don't think there was nearly the buzz or the anticipation for this one that there have been for some of the other ones. Obviously, we're on the road this time. The Bruins have been at home and the others, so they've been Boston events. But I just don't, you know, the idea, had this been the first one, think of how we would have reacted to it. Wow, hockey game, Notre Dame Stadium, the whole nine yards. Like, what a fabulous thing. And I don't know, maybe we're just jaded. Maybe I'm jaded, Murray. But to me, it's lost a little. And I think some of that's been reflected in the fact that the ticket sales for this thing weren't great.
Plenty of tickets available, folks. Yeah. So
I fought that. But on the other hand, it does feel like it's the NHL Super Bowl in a lot of ways. Because I was talking to a dude as we were leaving the hotel. I was like, oh, you're going to the game? He said, yeah. I'm like, oh, Bruins, Blackhawks fan? He's like, no, I'm actually a Maple Leafs fan. And I'm here because I just love the league and I love this event. So it's like, okay, so maybe they are getting out-of-market fans that aren't fans of either of these teams. They just want to come because it's such a big event for the league.
So my take is that obviously it's lost some luster or some novelty. I mean, it's, of course, you know, it's sort of lost its special nature, right? I still like the day. Like, there's just something about it. I was at both in Boston. There's just something about hockey in a football stadium that it just sort of works for me. It just sort of works. And so whether it's, you know, as big as it used to be or losing its luster, yes, I still like the day. And I still like the TV event. You know, even when the Bruins aren't in it, I'll sit on New Year's Day and watch the game. So those are our thoughts on the game. Let's bring in our first guest. It's the president of the Boston Bruins. It's been so long, I forgot your title,
What's your
Cam.
Name? What's your name
yeah,
again?
Felger. Happy New Year, Cam.
Happy New Year, guys.
What's up, man?
How you doing?
How you doing?
Good. How's South Bend treating you?
You know, last night, average.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, and don't. But this is a mimosa. Don't make fun of me.
Why not?
I'm not afraid.
Why not?
Not afraid to drink champagne and orange juice. How do you feel about this day, Cam? You know, we we were just talking about it.
Yeah.
You know, the Winter Classic in general as a product for the league.
Well, I just know that players are excited about today. You know, even though you know it's on the calendar when it leads up to it and it's finally here, the guys are excited. Yesterday, unfortunately, a little bit of a washout for the family skate, but I think the guys are ready to go.
So it's still a special day for the players?
It really is. It truly is. You'd think it'd get old, but it doesn't.
Yeah. How about for the league? You know, we were just talking. Tickets are available. You know, this feels like a softer sort of demand for this game than in the past. Do you feel it's been saturated a little bit? They have the Stadium Series. We, you know, they do this every year. Do you think they're suffering a little bit from oversaturation?
Well, it could be. I mean, this is a great location. I think it'll look amazing on TV. The location might have something to do with it. A couple hours out of Chicago. Tough for fans to get here and maybe find a place to stay. So that might have something to do with it, too.
Yep. So are you still in the market? Are you still in the rotation for another one of these games? And have you looked at any other sites other than Fenway or Gillette? Have you thought outside the box?
Yeah, no, actually, I haven't really thought too much about hosting again. It's nice to be a visitor for a change and you know, maybe down the road. But I know there's a lot of other teams in the league that would want to host a Winter Classic.
Okay. I mean, realistically, what other venues could you do in Boston other than repeating ones you've already been to?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know where else we could go in the Boston area that will have the same atmosphere as Fenway or Gillette. So it'll be tough to find a venue.
Cam Neely joins here on Felger and Maz on New Year's Day. How do you feel about your team? If the playoffs began tonight, you'd be out.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah, honestly, I was surprised when I looked at that. I didn't realize that you had fallen out.
Yeah.
And so, you know, but again, I'm a little on the dumb side, right. Cam, as you know.
Well, I knew based on the games last night that we had an opportunity if the other teams won that we'd be out, and here we are. So, but we're still in it. I mean, obviously, with a win today, we tie with Buffalo. So. You know, it's one of those things where every point matters, and you know we didn't play well before the break. We didn't play well right after the break. We got it going again a little bit in Buffalo. We came back for the first time in a long time in that game, so hopefully that gives us some confidence. You know, we've got areas that we need to improve, whether it's internally or externally. We know that. You know, but the health has certainly been an issue all season, and we're starting to get healthier finally.
Okay, what have you liked? What have you not liked? Tell me what you've liked.
Well, I've liked our goaltending for the most part all season. I mean, that's what's kind of kept us in. I thought Halak has played very well for us when we needed him to. Defensively, we're playing really strong, considering that I think in the first 19 games we had 12 defensemen play for us. So it showed a little bit of depth there. But offense is where we're struggling right now. We need some secondary scoring.
Okay.
So, I was just going to say, how much of a concern is that when you look at the offense? Because there was clearly an attempt when Sweeney took over to rebuild from within, to draft, develop, all of that. And now it feels like a lot of those guys have either hit walls or maybe even gone the other way.
Well,
so just how worrisome is that at this stage?
Well, I think, you know, you see guys like Jake DeBrus, who spent a full year in Providence. I think that did him some good. You know, with their injuries this year, I don't think we've allowed guys to be able to bake, so to speak, in Providence. And maybe that's stunted their growth to a degree. We've had to throw some guys in the fire, unfortunately, and hope in hopes that they could create something for us. And, you know, the development's been a little slow in that regard, but I think a lot of it has to do with it. You know, we didn't really give them a chance to develop properly at the American League level because of some of the injuries. But, you know, we do recognize that we need some help, you know, especially in the top six, based on the fact that some of the guys haven't really, you know, developed the way we had hoped.
Yeah, so the question there on the offense is, do you feel the issue is the way you played, or do you feel it's a roster issue?
Well, sometimes a combination of both. I mean, you know, when you got guys playing minutes that probably shouldn't be playing those minutes because of injuries, you're going to run into trouble, whether it's on the back end or whether it's guys that, you know, are third and fourth line guys that we had to move up in the lineup. You know, you can't expect a lot from them offensively because you kind of know what they are. So we'd like to try to address the roster. Don's been working on that, so we'll see where that takes us.
Okay, you mentioned the goaltending earlier. Where do you stand on Rask? Give me your thoughts on him this year.
Well, Tuukka's been a little up and down for us, not as consistent as we would like and we expect from him. He knows that. He recognizes that. I thought he had a strong game in Buffalo, which we needed from him. But if, you know, he's got to decide if he's going to take the ball and run with it, so we'll see where he goes with that.
And him getting the start today, I mean, you can make the case that Halak's outplayed him this year, yet he gets the start today. I know that's Bruce's call, not yours, but is there something there with it's still your job, Tuukka? You know, is there a bigger message there? Because it's a big game, right? I mean, it's an important game for the guys.
It's an important game, and it's, you know, obviously, a outdoor game like this has more magnitude than a regular season game normally does. But you know, we need Tuukka to step up and show that, you know, he can play a string of games and play well for us. He went on an amazing run last year. We're hoping for another one this year.
And, Cam, since we never get to talk to you anymore, I have to go back just a little bit to that leave of absence that he took. Was that with the full blessing and support and love in your heart from the team, or was there, I don't know, did you look at that leave with a little bit of, and I don't know what the word is, annoyance? Was there frustration on the part of the team or full support?
No, it was full support. I mean, based on what was going on with him, it was full support.
Okay. Well, let me ask some other things that have been bugging me. go ahead.
No, sorry. I was just going to ask you about the scoring issues. You know, obviously Bergeron just got back. But are you guys married and wed to the idea of Bergeron, Marchand, Pasternak? Like, why not? It worked with Krejci there for a little while. Bergeron feels like the kind of guy that could elevate people. What have you guys given serious consideration?
Yeah, there's been talk about splitting them up, roster and you know, who's going to play with who and who works well together. I mean, obviously, as you saw last game, there was so many iterations of our forward group that I think Butch is just trying to find what's going to work and where we're going to get some scoring from, especially, you know, if we see that we're having trouble putting pucks in the net, then he's gonna juggle things around. And, you know, there's been so much success with that line, it's hard to break them up. But to your point, If there is a time that we may need to do that, we have to look at that.
Well, it feels like he's wedded to Bergeron and Marchand.
Right.
Like that pairing, you know, he just doesn't want to break up, which, you know, hard to argue with those results. McAvoy, where do you stand on McAvoy?
Well, it's been a tough season for Charlie. I mean, actually, since he's been in the league, you know, it's been unfortunate. He's had the injuries that he's had. You know, we certainly, when he's in the lineup, he certainly improves our puck moving skills and our team on the back end. So we'd love to see him get healthy and stay healthy and stay in the lineup.
Is there any frustration there on your part with him in terms of, is he doing everything he needs to do?
I believe so. I mean, I certainly haven't heard otherwise. I mean, I would be disappointed if he's not.
Well, a little thing came up recently where, you know, it's come out he's not exactly a timely professional. He misses buses. I mean, Marchand even said it in an interview. Has there been an issue with McAvoy off the ice with that, you know, just that little thing?
Well, I think one of those things where you got a young player that stepped right into the pros, so to speak, from junior hockey, or pardon me, college hockey, has a lot to learn. And we've got a good veteran group that I think are pulling these guys along and making sure they understand what it takes to be a pro. You know, Charlie has some things to learn, and you know, he's willing to learn. He's a good kid. He wants to be a really good player in this league, and he's starting to figure out what it takes to be that player.
All right, Cam Neely once again joins us from O'Rourke's here in South Bend, Indiana for the Winter Classic. What else?
Well, you know, I was thinking about this morning. You're back a couple of years. When you guys made the coaching change, do you hear from fans? Were there any fans that were displeased with the change at the time? And do you look at it now and say, you know, do you feel vindicated by it? I mean, because I think most people would agree Cassidy's been terrific.
Yeah, well, he has. You know, we knew it wouldn't be a 100% popular move. There's no question. But we can't base on our decisions on obviously what we think the response is going to be from our fan base. But we felt it was the right move at the time, and we still feel it was the right move now. And you know, Butch has done a good job, and I think the coaching staff's done a fantastic job this year based on what they've had to deal with as far as injuries and bouncing people around the lineup. So I think they've done a good job this year for us.
Can I follow up on McAvoy one quick thing? Have you talked to his people yet about contract?
There was discussions really early in the season, but it hasn't really progressed since there.
Is it sort of tough now because he's missing games and now the, you know...
Well, we'd certainly like to see a bigger sample size. You know, especially when you think of the player he can be, but you know, we have to see a little bit more of Charlie, or a lot more, in my opinion. You know, when you're talking about guys coming out of their entry level and you know, being offered a 5, 6, 7, 8 year deal, so you want to make sure you know the player and you have a good understanding of where he's going to be. I mean, we think we do, but we'd like to see a little bit more.
Right. You know, so if he wants one of those deals, his comps aren't there now because he's missing so much time, and that's way.
Yeah, it's unfortunate for Charlie. I mean, I know he wants to play. He's a hockey player. He wants to play, but from our perspective, you know, we need to see him play some more.
All right, Cam. What else? Anything?
I mean, I don't know if you can answer this one, but what has happened to the Blackhawks?
Well, you know, it's one of those things where they've had so much success and you know, then guys come out of whether it's a first contract, second contract, they've had to shed some really good players because of that, because of the cap situation that they you know, you end up getting yourself in. They still have some really good players. We can't take them lightly. I mean, at any game during the season, someone can win. So, I don't really know the ins and outs, obviously, but I think, you know, a lot of it has to do with, you know, they ran the course with a good core group of guys. Now they've gotten older, and they got to backfill with some younger players.
Cam, this will be my last one, and you mentioned it before that Don's been looking at the roster, and, you know, this has been doing this now for months. Can you characterize the nature of what you're looking at? In other words, is a first-round pick still on the table? You traded it last year. You didn't have it. You know, is that something you'd like to protect going forward? Is a first-round pick still on the table? Do you feel you have maybe a glut or redundancies with some of your young players? You do have a lot of, feels like, young guys in Providence that are...
A lot of left-shot guys.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
So, you know, where are you looking to deal?
Well, you know, as far... Let me answer the first-round pick question. I mean, ideally, I would not want to give up a first-round pick for a rental. I mean... if we were going to get a good younger player back that made sense for us, then we'd consider it. But you know, giving up two first rounds back to back, I think is a tough way to build your organization. So it would have to be something pretty special for us to consider that. Ideally, if we could find a right shot forward that, you know, has some offensive capabilities, I mean, that's, you know, one area we're looking at. You know, we're going to wait and see where JFK lands as far as, you know, that third line center. I mean, he has played well for us. We'd like to see a little bit more from him. So there's a couple areas. But we are, you know, from a forward perspective that could help us with some secondary scoring. That's kind of obvious, I think, to everybody.
All right. Cam, thanks for coming by. We appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Good to see you guys.
All right, good
you
to too. See you again.
Happy
Take
New
care.
New Year.
Happy New Year. All right, we are off and running.
Your Bruins Winter Classic headquarters. O'Rourke's Public House in South Bend. It's Felger Ness, presented by Coors Light on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Felger Mass live on January 1. Got you covered all day long. Let's talk to some more hockey people, Mass.
I'm in.
Okay?
Absolutely.
Judd Surratt, the voice of the Bruins here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, and Billy Jaffe. You hear him on Nesson, and you see him, you hear him here on 98.5 The Sports Hub as well. Gentlemen, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. You're taking a lot of heat for the mimosa over on that side of the
bar. I'm not afraid. It's an orange juice and
Big
champagne.
Big Jim's got it going right.
I got to get right with the Lord right now with this
Absolutely.
Bloody Mary.
You have no you're idea. Not alone. Yeah. You're 2019 right.
You have no idea what Murray put in that thing.
I just want to know, wait a second, I a lot of respect for you guys. I want to know which one of you plays is going to have Paul Newman play him in the movie and the other Tom Cruise. Watching you guys play pool last night, I don't know if you remember much of it.
I do.
You do?
Well, that it was embarrassing. That was scary.
Which one's Newman, you?
I'm just setting people up for tonight, Bill.
Yeah, you got the all shirt I, on with it said Mike going across?
All I heard, Maz, all I heard is my dad spent a lot of time in bars.
All right, gentlemen, I'm going to just, you know what? I'm going to give you some things that bug me about the team right now, and I want your response.
Sure. Okay.
So here's the first thing that bugs me. I think Halak should be starting this game. I think he's been your better goalie this year. I think he's been your starting goalie this year. I don't think Rask has earned it. I think this is a sort of a game that, you know, you want to reward your players. And I think giving it to Rask is not a good sign because I don't think he's earned it. First thing that's bugged me, your response.
I think here in the last 6 weeks, Bruce Cassidy has said basically it's a game-by-game situation with his goaltenders. Rask won the last start. He was good in Buffalo. Bruins come from behind for the first time in the third period and win, so he gets the start here today. But I think the other thing that was interesting, Bruce Cassidy mentioned it yesterday, and he'll talk about it here on the coach's show later today, is that they want to get Rask some back-to-back starts to see if they can bring a little bit more out of his game. Maybe something like today will help.
Maybe. I mean, I hope so.
The
thing about Tuukka is not he doesn't love the outdoor, and he talked about that a little bit. And this is a huge freaking game for Tuukka. It is. This is not an individual sport. This is a huge game, though, for the man in the crease, who everything that Judd says is accurate. The one thing that that I do understand and I do agree with on Butch's point is he's been consistent with his message to his goaltenders. They've had a schedule this year. They got away from the schedule when Yarrow earned it, and he kept going and going. Then the last couple of weeks, let's call it 2 weeks or so, there hasn't been as much a schedule because, to Judd's point, it's a game-by-game because Halak hasn't been as good as of late. And so he said coming out of Christmas, paraphrasing, listen, we're going to play this guy here, this guy there, and Winter Classic is still to be determined. Bruce is pretty open with us. I believe him. And so right now, based on what Bruce said, and the coach's word is huge, accountability is huge, this is Tuukka's start. He has to have a good game in this one.
I mean, I find it on some level stunning that we're at this stage. That, you know, basically halfway through the season, it's a 50-50 split for the most part. Like, there's no reason.
Well, no, it's been more Halak.
Well, right, he's played, I think it's three more games. But I'm saying the mere fact that it's even close is an indictment on Rask.
And, you know, I mean, again, just reading Bruce's comments after the Carolina game with the puck handling, I mean, he basically calls out Rask and says he doesn't put in the work. Like, I mean, those comments to me were stunning. And thank God for Cassidy telling it like it is, because Tuukka Rask, I don't care. You don't have to be freaking Scotty Bowman. You know, you don't have to know hockey. He's a butcher with the puck. He sucks with the puck, and he always has.
He's actually seemed to do it. Maybe it's because we've seen the better of Halak. So it seems to have gotten to be more of an issue for him than it was.
And then,
now, the other thing is they're playing a quicker up game.
But they Bruce used calls to him right out and says he doesn't put in the work.
Well, I understand. I'm saying, and so it's become, to me, it's become more of less of a skill of his, because in the, I'll call it old days, a few years ago, they would hand the puck off more, and they'd go D to D, and then they'd go rink-wide tight pass with hinge plays. Now it's more quick up the ice, and so you're looking to put the puck in position to where your D-man skates are turning back up the ice, and they can get in a position to go.
Well, to me, it's not just Rask, but it's the entire roster. We wake up this morning, you look at the standings, and granted, we're not talking about a big margin, but the Bruins
they're
are
out.
Outside of the playoff
they're
picture.
Out.
There has to be some urgency in their game if they're going to make a run. Listen, look at the schedule. Look at the schedule that the Bruins have in January. Home heavy, barely travel. You're just now starting to get healthy. Hopefully get Charlie McAvoy back. Now is the time.
Oh, Judd, you just gave it to me there.
Oh, he's fired up.
I can hear it. So item number two that bugs me. Judd Surratt, Billy Jaffe, join us here on Felger Maz.
You got a long list.
Charlie McAvoy. I'm starting to wonder what's up with this kid. What's up with this kid? All right, he misses 20 games with a concussion. He doesn't know. No one knows when he was even hit. And I know it sounds like I'm calling out his toughness. This is like all on the list. Now he's got this thing where he took a shot.
Well, it opened up skin. You have to be. And here's the issue.
It opened up skin?
He's got a cut.
Now he's missed the next two.
Michael.
Now we're 2 weeks
take
later.
Take a sip of your mimosa on this
I'm
go- one. Okay?
I'm going to take a sip of my mimosa.
Go do that. Listen.
I got him going. That's the problem.
This guy can't stay on the ice?
When a guy last year by the name of Dan Girardi, okay, plays for Tampa, defensive.
I've heard of him.
A shot blocked, foot opened up, skin. And then the infection got so bad they had to attach something to his foot to drain it for a week plus. And that ends up having the foot is one of the most infected areas. And if you get a bad infection there, then maybe you could argue that you don't like the strength of his skin, Michael. Maybe you could do that.
Does he show up on time for everything? Because Cam didn't deny it. When we just asked Neely Vice, he's learning as a pro, you know. So
I'm not in those meetings. You get a better answer from Cam than you do.
So, you know, and again, some of these things aren't his fault, but it's just heart, concussion, foot, infection, knee, not on the ice, shows up late. Does that mean he's putting in the work elsewhere? This guy, this is the most important guy in the franchise, in my opinion. This is your...
One of them.
This is Bork, Chara, McAvoy. Like, this is your Drew Doughty. This is your guy. And I think that his position has become the single most important position in hockey. I would rather have...
24-minute night guy. I know it.
Billy, I would rather have a stud number one defenseman than a goalie. You know, I think that position has become so important.
You need a goalie that's right for your team. You need a stud D-man to base to stabilize.
Well, but it's just huge because of the way that they want to play. They want to play this quick, kill plays at the blue line, attack and transition. He's tailor-made
for that. This is the guy, and where is he? Okay, so I'm starting to worry about
Charlie. I don't disagree.
McAvoy.
I don't, listen, we all don't. Stay healthy. He needs to, that's an obvious, listen, guys, it's obvious. If your concern is that he's always going to be hurt, you and I know, Michael, we can't say what's going to happen in the future. It should bother the heck out of him because he's in contract situation. So it's got to bother the heck out of him because this isn't being gone for 2 or 3 weeks and you see the team shift away from being able to, you know, not being able to handle a player's absence. This is now going into too many games and you say, we've got to get used to playing without this guy. He's a wonderful kid. He loves hockey. He kicks ass when he's out there as much as he can. I know why you're saying you're worried because it's been a lot. I'm hoping that it isn't. If it continues to be an issue, absolutely. Then you're saying, whoa, what do we got here?
Okay. What do you got?
Well, so I was just going to say, and I asked Neely this too. I think I mentioned this to you earlier before we even came on the air. Why are they married to the idea of always having Bergeron, Marchand, and Pastrnak together? Why? It worked with Krejci for a little while, Judd, so why not split them up and see what you get?
That's a good point. I think the other side of this, so Bergeron's just getting back from being basically out for the last month or so. So I think having him come back in and have wingers that he's familiar with will help him get back up to speed. Now, when he does get back up to speed, then I think that's on the table because we could certainly see what David Krejci is like when he's playing with two elite established wingers in the National Hockey League. How do you maximize that asset? So when Bergeron gets back, and Bruce Cassidy mentioned, yeah, we're getting healthy, but that doesn't automatically mean we're going to take off. As soon as these guys go back, it's going to take some time for them to get back up to speed. Let them get back up to speed, and then I think that question is valid.
I think Bergeron's chances of elevating other guys are better than Krejci's.
Bruce is a masterful offensive coach. He's an excellent, but I've said this publicly before. I would still like to see Pasta and Krejci as a pair, Marchand and Bergeron. You got DeBrusque, too, I'm a huge fan of. He plays a new style power forward type game. It's not one of those guys going to crush you, but he plays interior a lot more than exterior. And they had that going a couple of games ago, and then they went away from it pretty quickly. And I don't know, maybe it's easy. My chair, I'd like to see them go with it for 2 or 3 games. I love the pairs because then right there, especially in a game like today where you say, okay, you've got Seabrook who's trying to play. Murphy's a shutdown pair with Dahlstrom, the young kid who was just called up, and then what, maybe Keith or who knows who their other shutdown pairs. Separate that top line. Get some other guy flying. I know they took Danton Heinen away. He only played a couple of minutes in last game. I'd still like to think him get going. I like the pairs. I'd like to see 2 top pairs.
Maz, I think they are going to go with pairs at some point. And you saw a subtle change there. We had Corrali bump up. Now, granted, Marchand wasn't in the lineup right in the Buffalo game, but he bumps up and he plays with Bergeron. Okay, you can keep Marchand on the left side when he comes back here today. If you need to bump up Corrali in a pinch, you can do that, move Pastrnak down, and start to spread the wealth a little bit. But what the Bruins need overall is a 4-line rotation that's been elusive this year.
They need a 3rd-line center.
Okay, so here's the last question. Can they win a cup with their current roster, or do they have to make a deal?
I think they have to make a deal because the third line center, I think, listen,
they need an ad.
It's a good team. We don't know. It's true. So don't give me any crap about this. We don't know this team yet because they've been injured so much. It's not football where you have to get big, 16 games, only 82 games. We don't know what this team is yet. However, to me, I know everybody wants top 6 wingers. Sure, who wouldn't? The third line center to me is the abyss right now because look at Kadri of Toronto. Look at Cirelli of Tampa, the two teams in your division. Down the middle, you need a guy that can match up against the opponent's top line or at least can go head-to-head with that third line and dominate there. And the Bees still, they need that. And hopefully they can get that.
Okay, boys, thanks for coming by.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Drink up those mimosas.
Yeah, get yourself a mimosa on the way out the door.
Judd, pace yourself today, pal.
Not a chance.
Pace yourself.
Not a chance.
You get geeked up for, Carolina in November.
I was with him, and we were 20 years old at Michigan, and he was getting geeked. He got geeked up for Ferris State.
Thanks for coming by, guys. We'll be right back. Your Felger Mass from South Bend.
Your Bruins Winter Classic Headquarters. O'Rourke's Public House in South Bend. It's Felger Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
One of the voices of the Bruins joins us now from O'Rourke's here in South Bend. Bob Beers, how you doing, Bobby? Happy New Year.
I'm doing great. Happy New Year, guys.
Good to see you.
How do you feel about this day? How do you feel about this game?
I love it. I think it's a great venue, first of all. I've been over there the last couple of days watching them put everything together. Yesterday, a little touch and go because of the rain, obviously. But I think it's a fantastic venue. I know that they've done a couple games in college stadiums. They did University of Michigan, which was huge. But this is... This is pretty cool. I'm really looking forward to this game.
So we started off the show talking about it. It feels like the game's lost a little of its luster or demand. Tickets are soft. The ticket sales are soft in this game. And so I think it's absolutely true it's lost its novelty factor. They have so many outdoor games now. They have a stadium series and probably oversaturated it. But if you've ever... I still think it's a good TV product. Yep. When I'm home, I think they do a fabulous job with the way they just present the whole thing. It's a really pleasant, sort of nice visual. I mean, it still works out as a TV end. And actually, as a live event, I loved it. Oh, I mean, I loved the Gillette game, even though it was a horrible hockey game.
Oh, yeah, we're trying to forget that one.
Right?
Oh, my God, was that awful.
But I love the day.
Wow.
I love the Fenway day.
Yeah.
There's just something about, I don't know, 50,000 hockey fans in a football stadium watching a hockey game as a one-off event. I wouldn't do it every night. But it does. It works for me.
Well, I like the once-a-year thing. You know, they've done it. They've added games, you know, in different locations. So they've got 3 and 4 games a year now. So I'm not a fan of that. But I am a fan of January 1, New Year's Day.
You bet.
Doing it, bringing it all together once a year. That I'm a fan of. And if I compare the Gillette and the Fenway games, I like Fenway a little bit better just because, well, the game obviously was better. But I mean, It was a little closer. Everything was a little tighter.
Sure,
you know,
it's more intimate.
Yeah. And that was the first time it was ever done there. So, and they put rinks in there in the last couple of years and had college games and high school games and things like that in there. But that game in particular, it was an amazing setting. And then I took part in 2 alumni games. You know, one in Gillette and one in Fenway as well. And those were cool. We didn't do that this year.
How come we didn't do that this year?
I don't know. I'm not sure that I know that. Well, I was telling you guys off the air, we worked with the Special Olympics yesterday. There was a ball hockey. It wasn't a ball hockey game. It's like a disc and they have sticks. But it was for Special Olympics yesterday, and they flew in 10 players from Boston or from New England area, and they flew in 10 players or bussed in 10 players from Chicago, and they had a game, Chicago against Boston. It was pretty cool doing that yesterday. So maybe that was the reason. I don't know. But I don't think they did one last year either, so maybe they're kind of doing away with that.
Well, I think that's a mistake because I think the whole weekend, what I like about it, it's a little bit of a celebration of the sport. You know, it's just, and like, I don't know, it'd be cool to see Bruins alum versus, you know, all those old Blackhawks players. It'd be great.
Old guys against old guys.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Very slow game to watch.
And see Milbury still bench you guys and yell at you on the bench.
Oh, yeah, he did that, actually. He did that with a couple of guys at Gillette.
Yeah, right.
How are you feeling about the team right now?
You know, same way I felt most of the year. I know that injuries have put holes in the team, but I thought they had some holes before the season started, and whether they were going to be filled from within or filled from a trade coming, that still remains to be seen. You know, that we've talked all year about who's going to play with David Krejci. If he's not going to play with Pastrnak and Marchand or any of those guys, then who's going to play with David Krejci? All right, we got Jake DeBrus to play there. Fine, that's good. He's had a good season so far when he's been healthy, but who's going to play the other wing? And it's been a revolving door there, and then it's been a revolving door in third line center. So those questions still remain. I like their D. I like their goaltending for the most part. There's been, you know, they've been a little up and down recently, but I do like their goaltending in the long run. And I think their D's solid when healthy. You know, they've got some tough decisions if everybody's healthy. McAvoy's not playing today, but he comes back in. They got a tough decision who comes out of the lineup.
Yeah.
But the winger and the center third line, you know, I think they got a lot of fourth line kind of guys and a couple of third line guys in there, but you still got some holes.
Well,
if you're going to compete with the big boys, is what I'm saying. I think they're a good enough team to make the playoffs right now. But if you're going to compete with Tampa, you're going to compete with Toronto in a 7-game series, you're going to compete with some of those other teams, you need more.
So I'm as worried about them long-term as I am short-term, Bob. Because I look at all these young guys that they've invested in, you know, the draft picks, the development, all of it. What if they can't play? Like, am I wrong to look at them and wonder? I don't know if they can play. Yeah. Can they play?
Well, no. I mean, I do think. Yeah, I mean, I think you've seen DeBrus develop.
DeBrus, I think we all like. I mean, other than him.
McAvoy's a young player that's developed. I mean, I think we're talking about Donato. I think we're talking about Heinen. I think we're talking about Bjork, right? Those are the three guys.
Forsback
to Carlson. Yep. Sure. I mean, those guys we're still watching and still waiting to see. I mean, Forsback to Carlson, this is the first time he's played in the NHL. Donato played a little bit last year. You know, Gross been a little stunted here, no question. He's been good at times, real good at times. He's got a lot of things he needs to do better if he wants to be an everyday player, and especially on the top two lines. Heinen, you know, been a little snake bitten this year, but need a little bit more from him, right? I mean, he got benched the other night against Buffalo. So we're still waiting to see these guys pop. I don't know. I mean, I think that they've taken that step, a little step back from last year. You know, Heinen had a good season last year. Heinen had more points than DeBrus last year. So, you know, we're waiting for him to kind of pop a little bit here, and it hasn't happened so far this season. I don't know if it's a sophomore slump, and they stick with him. It's hard to evaluate.
I feel like he's invisible.
Heinen?
Yes.
Oh, as my friend DJ Bean says, he plays a quiet game.
Bob, with McAvoy, when these guys first asked you about him, you had this almost breathy sexual response. Like, oh. But are you starting to get a little
years
frustrated?
Ago, right? Yeah,
yeah,
yeah
but
yeah,
are you starting to get a little frustrated that he just seemingly can't
stay
in the ice?
Yeah, I mean, it's a strange injury now. I mean, he's walking around fine. I guess he can't put the skate on it is what the problem is, but... Yeah, I mean, when he missed all those games because of a concussion, and they were saying, well, you know, it's up to him when he wants to come back. And, it's like, yeah, that's frustrating. But head injuries are strange, so I try to stay away from those. You try not to evaluate guys like that. But when he's on the ice, he's such a difference maker. He's a heck of a player, and he's only going to get better.
I'm getting worried, Bob.
Yeah, because of the injuries.
I'm getting worried.
I mean, he had the heart injury or heart
ailment
last year. He said some strange things kind of go on with him.
And, just a little thing about him being late and, like I just sort of added up. I mean, we teased him when he first came up, chubby for Charlie. He's chubby. Is he in shape? Does he put in the work? Does he have the
He's in shape. He's just got the look of,
Okay. But I don't know. I'm just sort of worried about the whole thing. And again, I put so much on him, as I was telling Billy and Judd. I think he's the guy. He's the future.
He's the key to the whole thing. He's the key on the defensive side of things. No question about it. I mean, his potential to be number one and be number one for a long time, but you do get a little concerned with some of the things that have gone on.
It's been a long time since I had a chubby for
Charlie. That's right. So on the team, to me, my issues are pretty much all roster. Like, I'm pretty okay with the way they've played. The young guys that haven't made a step, so individually, like I would be frustrated with Donato or Carlson or guys like that. But I think as a unit, I think they've done actually pretty well.
Forsbacka Carlson's been okay. My expectations were a little lower because I we didn't know what to expect. My expectations for Donato
What I'm saying is, there were times certainly at the end of the Claude run where I looked at the team some nights and said these guys are just slapping it out there. They're not playing hard. They're not playing well. I don't feel that way with this team.
For the most part, they play. There's been a couple of games where they've gone off the rails. That New Jersey game the other day at home. Where they didn't play well, and then the game against Carolina the Whalers, right?
The Whalers.
And I think that they got out in front of that quickly, and they bounced back with a good solid effort the other night. Two periods, anyhow.
To me, the issues are the roster.
Yeah.
You talk third-line center. They didn't replace Riley Nash, and they have no one to play in the top six.
By the way, Riley Nash has one goal this year.
So I was talking about that last night with Billy, I think. He came back to Earth, so whether it's him or someone else, the issues are roster.
Yeah.
It's a roster issue.
Yeah, and it's been that way from day one.
This is why I'm worried about those young guys.
Who's going to fit in here? Who's going to fit in there? That second line and third line. But I say the team is good enough to make the playoffs, especially when healthy. They're certainly good enough to make the playoffs. It's can you compete with those other teams? Can you compete with the teams you're going to have to play in the first round? If you finish in the wild card, if you finish in the second wild card, you got to go over and play Washington. If you finish fourth, you're probably going to play Tampa. So, second or third is a goal, and then you probably play Toronto. It's Buffalo and you fighting for second and third.
I'd still take my chance against Toronto.
Or third and fourth, I mean,
that should be the goal, to catch Buffalo there in that third spot and get Toronto in the first round.
That would be Toronto first round. I mean, I don't think anybody's going to catch Tampa the way they're playing right now. It's still half the season to go, but they've been unbelievable.
Okay, Bobby, final question. Do you think they have a big move in them? Because I think they're due for a Harry Sinden.
But they had that move last year, Mike.
Hockey, no, that was a first-round pick for a rental. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about...
They didn't view it as a rental. I think that they wanted him for longer term, and the fact that he didn't come back this year was
okay. But what I'm
news to them.
I'm talking,
Bobby,
the injuries. I'm talking about a hockey trade. My players for your players. An old school Harry Sinden.
Love to see it.
We're going
to
shake up the roster a little bit. It's been a while since they've had one of those, and I think they're due for it.
This is the time of year that the names start to pop up, right? Who it might be. You look for. But if it's a rental player, you got guys that are going to become unrestricted free agents. That's a possibility as well. But at the same time, I'd love to see. For a winger, anyhow, that younger guy with some term left on his contract that maybe is underachieving a little bit with another team, but you think can pop and you think you can pull the best out of him.
You trade one of your underachiever for one of theirs. You got any targets for him?
I look at a guy like, and I want some size on that wing as well. I watched Miles Wood play the other day against Boston. He was outstanding. He's a big guy that can skate. Underachieved a little bit this year. He had 19 goals last year, so. I look for that type of player, a little edge to him, a little bit of size, somebody who can really move on the wing, and maybe that hasn't quite done it this year. Hasn't lived up to his contract. So that type of player is what I really like to see. I throw that name out there for no reason other than I watched him play the other night, and he had a really good game against the Bruins.
All right, Bobby, thanks for coming by.
Felger and Maz are live at O'Rourke's Public House in South Bend.
Presented by Coors Light, official beer sponsor of the Winter Classic on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Anything stand out in our first hour there with the conversations with the fellas?
Well, the comment that Neely made, and you alluded to it, about McAvoy, you know, not
he didn't deny it.
You asked him about him being late for stuff and things like that. He did not deny it. So to me, you know, and again, it felt like the answer he gave way back when on Sagan, and I'm not comparing McAvoy to Sagan. I'm just saying that when we asked him about Sagan at one point, well, he's a young guy and you got to learn things. And to me, the answer felt similar with McAvoy. Like, clearly, there's some professionalism things that come along with every young player. But the question with McAvoy is, are they worse? You know, is there something there? I don't know how you don't get frustrated with McAvoy. I mean, we all know how good he is.
Yeah, and that's what makes it so frustrating, because there's such an inconsistency there. It's just, it's seemingly always something. And I thought, what I found interesting when it came to the goaltending, when Cam was here, who was the first name he brought up?
Oh, it's Halak. He didn't even mention Rask.
Wasn't Rask, you know, and it still feels like there's some frustration on behalf of management on Tuukka Rask, and rightfully so.
Absolutely. And so I still think that's why I'm kind of surprised he got the start today.
I mean, if you look at it from this standpoint, and, you know, we were a little tight on time with those guys. If the playoffs started today, who's in net?
I go with Halak.
I think it's, I'm not sure it's even that close. Like, you know, it's a discussion because Rask played better in the last game, but I think Halak's been the better guy. Like, if you were starting a playoff series today, which guy do you put in there?
It's Halak, no question.
I mean, and to me, that Cassidy comment after the Carolina game, I'm going to try and pull it up here. I mean, we don't have the actual sound, but he called him out. He flat out called him out, you know, really for a lack of effort. And if you know, remember, there was a Carolina game where he had a couple of shaky plays with the puck, one where he just gave away a goal in the third period. Cassidy said basically it's not his strength per se, and it's not something I don't think he puts a lot of time into correcting sometimes. It is what it is. You reap what you sow, right?
That line, you reap what you sow.
Holy crap, he doesn't put a lot of work into it. You reap what you sow. I mean, that is just...
No effort, bad results is what that is.
Wow. So, you know, and Cassidy goes on to say it's part of the job requirement, and you have to be sharper than he was today. It's that simple. I'm sure he will be the next time he is in there. And, you know, he hadn't been playing well. He was good in Buffalo the other night. I don't know. I just don't think Rask has earned it. And so... I would start Halak. I think they should still be in message sending stage with Rask. You know what I mean?
I mean, I am floored on some level that where we are in the season. You're halfway through, and Tuukka hasn't won the job yet. Like, not only has he not, he's lost the job is the better way to say it. He was the starter coming into the year. Halfway into the season, he still hasn't won it back.
Right. I mean, but he gets to start today, which is, again, I don't think he has won it back. I don't think he should win it back yet. And so I think Halak should have been in the net. So
I think it's because Rask got the helmet done. Have you seen?
Yeah.
I swear. Like, before it was confirmed from Cassidy, it was on Instagram or the Bruins official Twitter post that Rask had his helmet painted, and it's got the, you know, the Fighting Irish logo and all that stuff. It's like, okay, well, now we know who's going to be in net because he got the painting on the helmet.
So and the other thing to me is McAvoy. Again, that's just there's so much on him. I think he's the key to the whole thing. He's the key to the whole thing, and we're running into a thing now where it's one thing or another. And again, Neely didn't exactly deny the fact that he's not, on time. And we'll play that sound coming up. So they got to get to him, because if he's not the guy, they're in deep trouble.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, McAvoy specifically is the key to the whole group. I still go back to those left wings too, all of them. You know, Heinen, Donato. Like, the only one that I like is DeBrusque. I feel like DeBrusque's play, now the production, you know, can ebb and flow with any guy, but I feel like DeBrusque's play is consistent. He sticks his nose and he was in the front of the net, goes in the net all the time. Like, I see it with DeBrusque. The other guys, I don't see it.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Line ma.org.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six World Major Marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.